We have got Rabbi Byers and his wife Aviah here with us that are coming up next. So, hey guys, I can hear you, but I can barely hear you here. What's that? You're going in and out.
That was feedback from you.
Oh, it was. Okay.
They haven't said anything yet.
Rabbi, are you there? Rabbi Byers.
Oh, shalom,
Shalom.
I think he's talking to us.
Is he talking to us?
Yeah,
you're talking to me.
I was finding out if we could hear you there. So it sounds like you're doing good.
Oh, great, wonderful.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. We've had an incredible 3 days of teaching and preaching, and you're going to be winding up our daytime teachers for 3 days. And we just there we're hearing the feedback from my talking here. So we just ended up with Rabbi Emmanuel Gomez, and it's powerful. Yeah, he's pretty powerful, but I've heard you guys preach too, and we're just going to follow right through. As we've been saying, we're handing the baton off to the next person that's taking it to the end.
All right. Hallelujah. Excited about
Good.
Good.
We're excited about you guys too. We're talking to Rabbi Byers and his wife Aviah. They have a show called Milah HaGoyim every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Their website is milohagoyim.org. And these are some inspired children of God. I'm telling you, you want to talk about people that can preach the gospel, these guys can do it. And so I invite everybody to come and hear them every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. You know, we're actually telling everybody that they've got 50 minutes of fame here on Lamb Radio. So we're letting you
Hallelujah. I
guys
like
have.
that.
There we go. All right. Well, we need to get away here and let you guys have it, because we're excited about what you're bringing to us. The title of what you're doing is We Wait with Great Expectation and Hope.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. It's all yours, guys. You got it.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Right.
We are grateful to be here with y'all at Lamb Radio, and we're just excited about what Yahweh is doing in this time. We see that there's a lot of things that's going on in the earth today, and with man-made holidays or Hal-I Day or things that have been inserted, inserting me in it, you know, with all of the different holidays that man celebrate, they have gotten away from the time of Yahweh. And so it's very difficult for traditional teachers and thinkers to understand what Yahweh has for us. He has a plan for us, a plan of salvation. And this is why Yeshua came into the earth he didn't come to stay, but he came to die. And when he died, he rose with all power in his hand. And so at
Hallelujah.
This time, we are now waiting for his return.
Yes.
And in order to be able to understand that, you have to really look at his plan and not man's plan.
That's right.
We are coming to the end of the kingdom of man. Yahweh
Yes.
says, 6 days you work, the seventh day is the day of rest. And if you look at that, that's a greater vision to what he's doing in these days.
Yes.
6,000 years is what I'm saying, that he has let man operate as the authority of the earth.
That's it.
And now man has come to the end of their time.
Of their time.
And Yahweh is getting ready to return to the earth. Yeshua will be the king, and the law will come forth from Jerusalem as it was in the beginning.
Absolutely. And you know, this is what a great deception that the enemy has done in the people of Yahweh, that he would deceive them into taking away that time of rest, that miracle that happens every 7 days. There's a miracle that happens, and we get transported from time to eternity for a 24-hour period.
24 hours.
And he allows us to take part
in his
piece of eternity.
Yes.
In his life.
For
24 hours. And tells us, don't you do anything. You rest. You let me take care of you. Let me love on you. Let me do for you. And you get to rest. You don't have to do anything else. And the enemy says that's not a good thing.
And they accept
it and go on. And not accept that time of eternity with the Most High. What a great deception.
We, just like our parents,
right,
have not really embraced
right.
the fullness of what Yahweh has done there. Mm-hmm. We have walked in death because of the very first sin, our right. parents back in the garden.
Right.
But look what Yahweh has done is he has taken a piece of that provision.
Absolutely.
And extended it throughout all time until every day is the Sabbath.
Mm.
And when every day becomes the Sabbath, once again, we will be in the place of provision that
Absolutely.
Was in the garden
Absolutely.
In the very beginning. So when he took that Sabbath day
That's right.
and gave it to us,
mm-hmm.
oh man, it is so much there. I scare myself just to even think about going into that for a moment mm-hmm. because I have some stuff here for you. So I'm going to deviate and go right to it because
mm-hmm.
we are just excited about
yes.
what Yahweh is doing in the
Hallelujah.
Earth. And so our topic today is we wait with
yes.
great expectation
yes.
and
hope. Hallelujah.
And so as we are waiting for the return of our Mashiach, our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, we can see there is a great expectation in the earth for his return.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see that HaSatan is stirring his kingdom as well with all the things that are taking place with the wars, the rumors of wars and disease and famine and all of these things that are going on. But I remember my Mashiach saying, this would be the sign of my coming.
Yes.
And
yes.
so as we see the sign of his coming, let's jump right into our message for today. And I'm going to start with, let's take a look at the promise of his return.
Yes.
So we have the Shemitah, which is the seventh year of release.
Yes.
And the harvest. Now that is simultaneous. One thing is taking place while the other is taking place right on top of it. And there is another part that takes place as well.
Yes.
Now, when I say the Shemitah, there's been a lot of teaching about the Shemitah this year,
mm-hmm.
The previous months
right.
Leading up to this
right,
year.
Right.
Jonathan Kahn and,
exactly.
and different ones that have wrote about it, spoke
mm-hmm.
about it, went on interviews. They've done a great job introducing something that may not be known to a lot of people, but so I'm just going to kind of jump right in on that. The seventh year being the Shemitah year, which is every 7 years is the year of release.
Yes.
Now, this is known to the Hebrew slaves, and it is most important to
oh, absolutely.
The Hebrew slaves
absolutely.
Because it's the year that you are released
That's
from
right.
your debt.
Freedom. Thank you.
And all debt. It's paid in full. You are released. And on top of that, Yahweh says you seven times that, which is 49 plus one, that takes you to the ultimate umbrella, which is the year of Jubilee.
Right.
Now, these things mm-hmm. escape a lot of traditional teachers. And it's understandable.
Right.
Because I myself, I didn't always understand this until I went back to the Hebrew understanding.
Absolutely.
And now I understand it.
Right.
I see it because I see my Messiah in it. I see my Mashiach. And so what he's done on the cross, on the stake, is far deeper, far greater than what we can understand unless we go back to get some understanding. And so what I would say to you right here is go to the book of Leviticus chapter 23 to understand a lot of the concept of what I'm going to say to you. And that's pretty much what all I'm going to say right there from Leviticus. Right. But if you want to understand this, and perhaps I'll say it again later on for those who may tune in a little later, Leviticus chapter 23, it gives you the Sabbath and the holy days.
There you go.
Of which there are seven of them. Right. So here we are. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 29 verses 8 through 13. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Neither let the listen to the dreams which you are dreaming, for they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not, I repeat, I have not sent them, declares Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
For thus says Yahweh, since when 70 years are completed at Babel, I shall visit you and establish my good word towards you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I am planning for you, declares Yahweh, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and an expectancy.
Yes.
Then you shall call on me and shall come and pray to me, and I shall listen to you. And you shall seek me and shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. You shall find me.
Right.
Well, I thought Yeshua was coming back. You shall find me.
And this is Jeremiah.
Yes, exactly. And he's saying, when you seek me, you shall find me.
And so, he says in the second, in the ninth verse, we know who's speaking because he says, I have not sent them, declares Yahweh. For thus said Yahweh. So he says, it's telling us who's speaking right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if it's Yahweh who says,
right,
you shall find me.
Right.
And we know that Yeshua said, I shall return, then the only conclusion I can come to is that Yeshua and Yahweh are one.
That they are one.
And so when we see Yahweh or read of Yahweh, who is the creator of all things, but when we see him as man, we also see him as Yeshua. Yeshua, my salvation. Yahweh.
Yeah.
Is my salvation, which is what his name means, Yahshua, in the Hebrew.
Oh,
and so let me just also point out, he says, I have not sent them, declares Yahweh, you shall have false prophets who will come in my name. Whose name do they usually come in? Yeshua. I am Yeshua. I am Jesus. I am
come in the name of Jesus.
Yes, and so we see right there. He said in verse 8, "Let not your prophets and your diviners, who are in your midst, deceive you." Mm-hmm. So the ones who come in the name of Yahweh or in the name of Yeshua, come and they deceive many, and so we have a problem with that today. So many are being deceived. And Yeshua spoke of that in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And he let out when they were asking him, when will these things be? They were asking about the temple being destroyed. And he said, when will these things be? He said, let no one deceive you. And that's exactly where we are, because many people come in the name of Yahweh, come in the name of Yeshua, saying that I am a prophet of God. And he has sent me to tell you. And so they begin to prophesy.
Yes.
So we just have to be careful. So let's go to the book of instructions, Deuteronomy. Ooh, I hope that didn't scare you. Book of instructions, Deuteronomy chapter 31. verses 9 and 11. And Moshe wrote this Torah and gave it to who? The priests.
Yes, he did.
The sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, at the appointed time, the year of release, at the festival of booths, when all Israel come, and I want to repeat that, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which he chooses, read this Torah before all Israel in their hearing. So just kind of focusing in on what's taking place here, they are at the River of Jordan. This is their 40th year. And Moshe, he gave them the Torah, right, or the law. And he said, in the seventh year, or at the end of the seventh year, at the appointed time,
right,
the year of release, at the festival of booths. Now, those are four pieces of instruction,
exactly,
that he gives us.
Exactly.
And when he says in the seventh year, and we know the 40th year, that was it.
Right.
So was he really talking to them, or was he talking to another distant generation? And it seems that Moshe understood a great deal of the coming of Mashiach, and the gathering, the regathering of Israel, because he says, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh, because he also knew that when they go into the land, that the land would spew them out.
Absolutely, that they were going to sin, he told them.
That's and right. He wrote a song about it.
He sure did.
Here it goes. So when he wrote this and gave it to them and said, in generations to come, when your children's children begin to walk away from the Torah, of which I'm giving you right now today, of which we all entered into, when your children's children begin to walk away from the Torah, and follow after strange gods, at the end of the seventh year, Shemitah, every 7 years, that's the Shemitah year, the year of release. It's the year also of your harvest. So we got several things going here, but I'm going to push on. But he also says what? At the appointed time. Not
right.
Just some time,
yeah,
at the seventh year and
right.
At the end of the year. And at the end of the year is not on the regular calendar or Roman Greco calendar,
yeah,
the 12th month being December. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, once again, go to the book of Leviticus and learn when the end of the year is.
Right.
The end of the year is the seventh month. So you got the seventh month of the seventh year that we're looking at here at the appointed time. So the seventh month, which is the end of the year, the seventh year, which is the Shemitah year, and the appointed time. So you got seven appointed times. And then he points to exactly which one? At the Festival of Booths. So for those of you who may not understand the seven holy days that we do keep, you start with Passover and you end with Sukkot, or the Festival of Booths, when they came out of Egypt. Every year this is celebrated.
And then also, it's important to understand the timeline of the Hebrew timeline, that there's an in season and then there's an out of season. So people tend to get those things mixed up. In season would be from Passover to Tabernacles or Sukkot, and then out of season would be those 5 months after Sukkot, between Sukkot and then Passover. So you really have to get into the understanding. You know, that's why Yeshua said, in all you're getting, get understanding. If you don't understand a thing, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have about it. If you're not comprehending it and understanding it, then it's no good to you or anyone else.
So let's go to Matthew's chapter 25, verses 1 through 5, and we'll end with verse 10. Mm-hmm. And most of you are familiar with this chapter and various understandings, of course. So we're going to listen to what Yeshua himself spoke and taught mm-hmm. about the kingdom or the reign of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, then the reign of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens or virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish, having taken their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while the bridegroom took time, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 10. Mm-hmm. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him, the bridegroom, to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And so how does this relate to the Shemitah? How does this relate to the instructions that Moshe left us? Well, once again, the seventh year, the Shemitah year, the seventh month, and here is the Mashiach himself speaking. And of course, I only just used just a bit. You can go to Matthew's chapter 25 and read the whole story. But here, I just picked out just a few of the main portions that I want to point at. Number one being that there's, in the kingdom of Yahweh, there's both wise
and
foolish.
Absolutely.
So where are we? Back at the garden.
Yes, we're seeing
it. It's the tree of knowledge.
That's right.
Where both good and evil reside.
The wheat and the tare.
The wheat and the tare.
Absolutely.
So let's look at how the kingdom of heaven. Let's look and see how the kingdom of heaven works out. With the foolish and the wise. This is coming from the point of view from Yeshua. He says, the wise took oil in their containers
mm-hmm.
and in their lamps. But the foolish, while the bridegroom took time, they all slept in slumber. In other words, this is pointing to, they all knew when he was coming. They all understood that he was coming. You have various teachings. You got the rapture teaching. That is not scriptural. You got all of the different holidays of man that celebrate Yahweh and celebrate Yeshua and that are not scriptural.
Oh, they say they do.
At least, yes, they say they do, but are we now being deceived?
Yeah.
Let no one deceive you.
Right.
And so how do you know which one you're on? Okay, well, the wise took oil. Well, the foolish did not. And so here's the issue. When the bridegroom came, only the wise were ready because they took oil and they went in. And what happened during the Feast of Sukkot, or it says the wedding feast. When is the wedding feast? Sukkot.
Right.
What is Sukkot? Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
That is when they came out of Egypt. They went to the mountain and entered into a covenant with Yahweh. They entered into a marriage with those who were standing there, as well as those who were not. Guess who were not? We were not there.
That's right.
But we were entered into that covenant.
Absolutely.
That if we keep the commandments, then all the things that came with it, both good and evil, would belong to us. If we kept the commandments, we get the good. If we did not keep the commandments, We get the bag.
We get the bag.
It's not hard to understand the concept. And so here we are. The bridegroom comes, and we see it's during an appointed time, which is the seventh month. Mm-hmm. So we just need to go back to Leviticus chapter 23 to correlate and understand. And this is already spelling it out for you. The wise are saved. The foolish receive the wrath. Mm-hmm. You have to decide which side you want to take and be on.
Exactly.
So if we love him as we say we do, he says, keep my commandments.
Right.
So let's take a further look at the Shemitah or at the commands of Moshe, and better yet, the commands of Yahweh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so also Elohim shall bring with him those who sleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Master, that we, the living, who are left over at the coming of the Master, shall in no way go before those who are asleep. Mm-hmm. Because the Master himself shall come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of a chief messenger, and with the trumpet of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Mm-hmm. So, what is our focus here? The time of the Messiah, when he returns, Yeshua, Jesus, when he is to return. And so, Shaul is now pointing to something very significant here. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that 1 Thessalonians, all of this, the Acts, and all of this is now after Yeshua has come and gone, and we're still getting instructions that say, go back to Leviticus chapter 23 mm-hmm. to understand. And so it says, if we believe that Yeshua, Jesus, died and rose again. Now, let's stop right there for a second. Do we believe that he rose? And I would say, yes, that we do. Yes. Both traditional teaching and those of us who believe in the messianic teaching. We do believe that he rose again. And so this is what sets us apart from any other religious belief, mm-hmm. is that we believe he died and rose again.
Right.
So let's look at what the rest of it said. So also Elohim shall bring with him, who's him? Yeshua. Those who died in Yeshua. For this we say to you, by the words of the Master. Now that's interchangeable, whichever one you want to assign it to. Yahweh the Master, Yeshua the Master, because they're both the same. Just as when he says, so also Elohim, and then he says him, which is Elohim, but for all purposes in the flesh is Yeshua, the living who are left over at his coming. So those who are living during the time of Yeshua's return, mm-hmm. at the coming of the Master, Yahweh, Yeshua in the flesh, shall in no way go before those who are asleep, those who are dead mm-hmm. in Messiah.
Right.
And so it's talking now when it says with the trumpet of Elohim, and again, Leviticus chapter 23, there is one of the holy days right there. That's the number, that's number five, number 7, 6, 5. That one is number 5. When you look at those lists, it is the call of the bride.
Absolutely.
Feast of Trumpets. And so we do this every year. It is 10 days before the Feast of Yom Kippur. You've heard of Yom Kippur. Some of you may not have heard of Yom Terah.
Mm-hmm.
which is Day of Trumpets or Feast of Trumpets, because at that time we have a feast.
Day of the blowing. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly. The call of the bride. And this is the time that traditionally the church has always waited for the return of the Messiah and the wedding feast. And so this is the call of everyone to come to the wedding feast. In other words, come out of her, my people.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation.
Yes.
And so let's look at further Thessalonians, giving us some tremendous golden nuggets here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now verses 1 through 3. Now, brothers, as to the times and the seasons, you do not need to be written to, for you yourselves know very well that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety,
yes,
then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not, I repeat, they shall not escape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are. Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said. So I'm saying right now, Paul said, brothers, who was his brothers? And Yeshua explained that to us when they came to the door and said, your mother and sister outside.
Mother and brothers.
Your mother, your sister, your brothers, they're outside. And he said, who is my mother?
Right.
Who is my brother? Who's my sister?
Right.
Those who keep. That's the command right. of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that Yeshua explained that, now Shaul, he comes right behind him and says, now, brothers, mm-hmm. as to the time and seasons. Why? Leviticus explained it to us, the times and seasons.
Absolutely.
What are the times and seasons? The appointed times. And in the appointed times, you will see the Shemitah year, which is every seventh year. You will also see the year of Jubilee, which is the father of the year of release. So in other words, there are 7 years times 7 years of release inside of a 50-year period. In other words, 7 plus 7 plus 7, 7 times, 49 plus 1, and there we have the year of Jubilee. All things go back to the original owner.
Hallelujah.
Is Yahweh's word true? Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're hearing what Shaul is saying. Paul is saying, for you yourselves know very well. What do we know very well? The holy days.
Mm-hmm.
This is our lifestyle. This is what we do.
Right.
From the beginning of the year, Passover,
Hallelujah.
To the end of the year, Sukkot.
That's right.
Leviticus 23, mm-hmm. you got to look at it. Come, Yahweh, the day of Yahweh. The church has been waiting for the day of Yahweh. Traditional teachers have been waiting for the day of Yahweh forever.
Well, some of them say they do it every Sunday.
And that is mistaken, because it is a day that which is a day of wrath.
Right.
Not a day just of celebration. And yes, there will be celebration for the wise.
Right.
But the foolish will be a day of destruction.
But make no mistake about it. That day has not gotten here yet.
It has not come. Because it says when they say peace and safety. Sudden
right.
destruction
That's right.
comes upon them.
That's right.
Here's two things happening. The destruction that comes upon them is the foolish. And the one that where we see labor pains upon a pregnant woman, where do we see that? Revelation chapter 12. Check that out. I'm not going to go to it now. But check out Revelation chapter 12. What you will see is a woman who has 12 stars on her head. We're not talking about galactical stars. We're talking about the children of Israel, the promise that was given to Abraham and said that your children would be as the stars of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before he even had a child.
Right.
And so here we see it now in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Yeshua, and it is the book of prophecy. And so he says, they shall not escape. Who is they? They have to be, because we see the pregnant woman, she's escaped. In that chapter 12, says she is flown to her place, mm-hmm. of which Yahweh has prepared for her. Right. And so the place that he has prepared for her, you see Yahweh there on the throne, and you see Yeshua there by his side. And then go back to Revelation chapter 7, you will see then the pregnant woman there, and look at the names that are spoken there. All of the names that are spoken in Revelation chapter 7 are the 12 stars that are on the woman's head.
Right.
So it's obvious to me that the woman escapes with the 12 stars. Mm-hmm. And the 12 stars are from Reuben, Gad, Lebanon, Zebion, Naphtali, all 12, Issachar. All 12, Judah, Benjamin, all 12 are accounted for.
Right, but not Lebanon.
Not Lebanon. No, 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 not Lebanon. That was a mistake in the list.
They're not included.
But the 12 stars are included. And so when they say peace and safety, and I would say to you, and I'm just going to mention this, that they have now said peace and safety. Right. Both by our President Obama, he said that we are now looking out for the safety and the peace of the world, as they have now put together this brokered this deal with Iran.
Right.
And right behind him, the UN also made a they also said that we are now trying to bring in peace and make sure that the world is safe behind this nuclear deal to settle the issues of the Middle East, to make sure that we have a peaceful solution.
Solution. Yeah.
And so if you keep up with the news and things that are taking place.
More like a peace of Jerusalem.
Exactly. I myself am a school teacher. And just to note that as we look at wars, rumors of wars, we can say yes on that. We know that these things are happening now. And just looking at Israel, ISIS, Iran, Russia, Hamas, all of these things that are going on at this particular time, we know it's not a time of peace.
Right. Not at all.
But we're seeing it even through the educational system. Just a few days ago, we had a day of unity where they sent out a memo to all the principals, and this came from the central office of our district. And they said, okay, we're going to wear a certain color on this certain day. And so they sent it out to all the principals, and then all the principals sent it out to all the teachers, and then all the teachers told all of the children and sent memos home to their parents that we would wear a certain color on a certain day for unity. And so as I'm analyzing this and looking at this, wow, it's gone all the way down the line. Peace and safety. And so while the scripture says it would be as the days of Noah, they would not know. See, we're looking for this grand boom and you know, the thunder and everything to be going on at once and all around the world, and all the world is dark, and everybody conclude, oh no, this is the time.
Right.
But the scripture says it would be as the days of Noah. They did not know. Until he went into the ark. And guess what? Yahweh left the door open for 7 days.
Yes, he did.
And then at the end of the seventh day, he closed the door. And all those that were warned that rain was coming, even though they never seen rain or heard rain, and this crazy man is building some kind of boat, large or something, they just thought he was crazy.
Much like they do us now.
So when the rain started happening, it was too late. So here we are waiting for the Mashiach.
Right.
Are we going to wait till it's too late? Leviticus chapter 23. Let's go back to the instructions again. This time we're going to read it from the New Testament. I hope that didn't scare you. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 through 24.
In all circumstances, give thanks to this, is for this is the desire of Elohim in Messiah Yeshua for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Prove them all. Hold fast what is good. Keep back from every form of wickedness. And the Elohim of peace himself sets you completely apart, and your entire spirit and being and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah. He who calls you is trustworthy, who also shall do it.
So when he makes this statement here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 through 24, I would encourage you just to read all of that. But he says, he who calls is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
I also recall another scripture that says that the Mashiach would come riding in on a horse, and on his thigh would be the name,
mm-hmm,
trustworthy,
mm-hmm,
Yeshua,
right,
trust and true.
Mm-hmm.
So here he's pointing towards Yeshua who's coming. And so let's look at what the Elohim of peace, or the God of peace himself, who sets you completely apart,
mm-hmm,
the entire spirit, the being, the body, to do what? Preserve you blameless. When the Messiah himself comes, this would be the wise bride.
Mm-hmm.
So let me identify who that is. That's the wise bride who is being preserved. This is not the foolish, because when the Messiah comes, there is destruction. And at that destruction, the foolish bride did not make it in. They came, but they came too late. What happened? They were told, when they said, our lamps have gone out.
Right.
Give us some of yours. Well, what was the response of the wise bride? Go and buy from those who sell.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem, and you'll find it back in Matthew chapter 24. He says, pray that your flight does not take place in the winter or the Sabbath.
Or the Sabbath.
Why did he mention winter or Sabbath? Because you've missed them both. Wintertime is after the seventh month feast day. The seventh month feast day, Leviticus chapter 23, comes in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So what comes after the fall? Winter. So what about the Sabbath? Well, the first day comes after the seventh day, because it begins the cycle again. So those who worship on Sunday, I hope this doesn't bother you. And actually, I do. I hope it does bother you.
Yeah, let's hope it bothers you right on into being a doer of the word, like Yeshua says, instead
and
of
not
a
just
hearer.
A hearer. Exactly.
Right. Right.
So when the seventh day comes, which is Saturday, the seventh day, the day of rest, Sunday comes, which is also known as the day of sun worship. Going back to Eusebius, who was a sun worshiper. And Constantine, thank you.
Right.
Who was a sun worshiper, and he brought everything into sun worship on the first day, Sun's Day. And so here we are now looking at the coming of the Mashiach and what shall take place. So this is why he starts out. And of course, I'm at verse 18. So read before this and understand all the way through. In all circumstances, in everything that you're going through, give thanks. So in the time of war, rumors of war, famine, and all these things, give thanks. Why? Because it's the sign of the coming of the Messiah.
Right, right.
Give thanks, for this is the desire of Elohim in Messiah Yeshua for you. Not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy, but prove them all. Hold fast what is good. Why did he say that? Traditionally, we have heard this used wrongly, do not quench the spirit. So this is the time of shouting and giving praise and worship to Yahweh. Yes, that's fine. But the content of what he's talking about here is prophecy. What gives prophecy? The spirit of Yahweh. So the spirit of Yahweh is speaking. He says, do not despise prophecy, but prove them. What? Prove what? We can look at, I mean, there's a whole lot I can deal with here, but I'm going to stay with revelation, which is the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Yeshua. And so what he says here is hold to what is good. Keep back from what is wicked. That's what? Good and evil.
Absolutely.
Back to the garden. Good and evil. Since we're eating from the tree of knowledge, I need to see whether it's good for me or bad for me. Right. Since we're eating from the tree of knowledge, go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and understand the holy day. They are good. Hold to what is good. Keep back from evil. What is evil? All of these man-made holidays to do what? Get you away from the appointed times of Yahweh.
Deception. Deception.
Let no man deceive you.
That's right.
That is what Yeshua was speaking of in Matthew chapter 24. And the God of peace himself will set you apart. Totally. Entirely, the spirit, the being, the body, to do what? Preserve you in times of destruction
right.
at his coming. This word is trustworthy.
Right.
And it is true. So let's look at what's happening with destruction, and we're going to be bringing this in. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. I stand at my watch and station myself on the watchtower and wait to see what he says to me and what to answer when I am reproved. And Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision and inscribe it on tablets. What was written on tablets before? Back in, exactly, the commandments. So that he who reads it runs. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Leviticus chapter 23.
Appointed time.
And it speaks of the end. What end? And does not lie. If it lingers, wait. This is instructions. Wait for it. For it shall certainly come. It shall not delay. And so, As we are coming down to our last few minutes, I want you to just think about it. If you're not totally convinced, I'm not saying you have to be. All I'm saying now, just give consideration. Consideration. I want you to read Daniel chapter 9, and it talks to you about the 70 weeks that are decreed upon the earth. That was not completed. It also tells us that in the 69th week that Yeshua himself was cut off. Mm-hmm. And so if Yeshua was the 69th week, and we know that that's almost 2,000 years, then we know that we are coming into the conclusion of the week. So at the conclusion of the week, Messiah will come in to finish the week. And what is left? Because after he was cut off, there was still 1 week left. But in Daniel, you will read where it says, in the middle of the week, temple sacrifices will be cut off. And so what remains is a half a week. And Yeshua returns to conclude that.
So we remain in expectation and hope of that, of his returning. So I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, and I always like to bring up this scripture when people talk about being Gentiles and being not having to keep the Torah or be obedient to the word of Yahweh. And if you look at Ephesians 2, and we just skip down to, let's go down to 4 and start reading that. But Elohim, who is rich in compassion because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Mashiach. By favor, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah Yeshua in order to show in the coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor and kindness towards us in Messiah Yeshua. For by favor, you have been saved through belief and not and that not of yourself. It is the gift of Elohim. It is not by works so that anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works. What are the good works? The keeping of his Torah, the walking correct, the walking in the righteousness of Elohim, which Elohim prepared. Those are the works he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's your Torah. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. Now, why don't people teach that? It says you were once Gentiles in the flesh. So anyone who says that they are a believer in Messiah Yeshua and they say they're a Gentile, I'm sorry, you're a liar. And you're probably a liar because you don't know that you're a liar. But Ephesians 2:11 says that you were once Gentiles. You're no longer a Gentile. Don't allow your pastor, don't allow your friends, your mama, your daddy, whoever, to tell you that you're a Gentile. It says therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called the uncircumcised by what is called the circumcised, made in the flesh by hands. He said that at that time you were without Messiah. That is the definition of a Gentile. Without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, the strangers from the covenant of promise, the covenants of promise, having no expectation and without Elohim in the world. But now Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off, Hosea said that we were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Yeshua. So now we are in that adoption mode. If we are not of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we're not the blood of the 12 sons, then guess what? We're by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. So that's the expectation. That's the hope. That's what we have to be able to relate to him, that we're no longer Gentiles. We're no longer without expectation.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is James and Gail O'Hare. That was wonderful.
Yes. And that just dovetailed what Rabbi Gomez was talking about, too. And yeah. I just love the way the Holy Spirit puts all this stuff together. I mean, you could not plan this. But the Holy Spirit guides us and says, well, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, because we're all members of the body. But all different functions, but we are part of the body, and he speaks to each one of us.
Was it also interesting, after that verse in Ephesians you just read, if you haven't gone to the beginning of the book and you hadn't studied the Moedims and understood the relationship that we have, you don't see it through those eyes. Before you really started to understand the beginning and the Moedims, it all is like, so what is this talking about? You know, so it's absolutely marvelous how we get a greater light after we've teshuvahed.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
That was wonderful. Yeah, so encouraging. Very encouraging. Yes. We so enjoy hearing you on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And you work so well together.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
you.
And we love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Just keep it up, because we are just working on bringing Yahweh's people to the point of truth.
That's it. That's what it's about.
And that'll set you free.
And that'll preach.
Yes, it will. Advancing the kingdom.
Yes.
Because the Father wants a harvest. He wants a harvest.
He does. He does.
Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. We're not quitting.
Amen.
Lamb Radio is not going anywhere. We're staying right here.
Hallelujah.
We're having too much fun. How could we go anywhere? What's up?
I know.
Wonderful bringing everybody together, because it's to be able to talk to you and to get to know our brothers and sisters, and it's a family reunion. Hallelujah.
Yes, we got. I remember the first time you were on with the Mellow Hagoyim, and we said, who is that? We called Mark right away and said, Mark, we love these people. Who are they? Where'd you find them?
Well, now you got to have them on your show, guys.
Yes. What time is our show, Gail?
James and Gail do Israel My Delight every Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Central. So we'd love to have you join us if you'd be willing.
Yes,
definitely. So
yes, definitely.
All right. We'll plan that, because that'll be a lot of fun.
Hold up just a second, Rabbi Byers. Are you spirit filled? Because James and Gail are spirit filled. They let it loose.
I tell you what, the blood of Messiah. He must be doing something in me.
Can we get a witness? We can get fired up here, I'm telling you. I think we already are fired up. So.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I mean, it's always good to hear from you. We don't, you know, you have your show and we hear what you bring us, but you're getting together like what we're doing here is in essence even that much better, because we do get the interaction between the different show hosts and the musicians, which we don't ever get to do otherwise. That's the great thing about doing something like this. I mean, along with so many other things, but we get that interaction that you're just not going to get otherwise. And I love that. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, we look forward to the fellowship. That's one thing that we celebrate, is being able to fellowship with our sisters and brothers around the world, all types of people, all types of languages, all types of tongues, that we can find a middle ground in the Torah and Yahweh, makes us one.
That's right.
Truly one.
Right, and that's what Yeshua said he wanted to happen, that we would become one as he and the Father are one.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, I think it's time for a virtual hug.
Yeah.
We're hugging.
We are too.
Hey, have you guys been in the chat room? If you haven't, if you could, would you go in and you have been in? Good. Well, you should go in and talk with everybody. Usually it's awesome to go in, have the speakers, the musicians go in. Everybody loves to talk to them. And, you know, that's what's great about this is that it's one of the few things that is exactly like a physical conference, in that you get to meet new people, you get to fellowship, and you get to meet the speakers and introduce yourself and ask questions and that type of thing. So the chat room has been a vital part of the conference for the whole week. And let me tell you what, it has just been massive. We have had so many people come on and emails and people in the chat room and the people behind the scene and everything. This is far exceeding our expectations. This is just massive. It's great. We love it. And thank you guys so much for joining us. Looking forward to the next time we can do this.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so all right. We'll be in touch.
God bless. Yes,
definitely be in touch. Okay. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Right. Shalom.
We'll talk to you real soon.
Okay. All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.